Our sermon lesson and the epistle lesson appointed to be read in Christian churches on this Sunday comes to us from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning at the second verse. Surely you have heard of the administration of God's grace given to me for you, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. When you read this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery was not made known to people in past generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that in Christ Jesus the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who also share in the promise through the gospel. I became a servant of this gospel, in keeping with the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of His power. To me, even though I am the very least of the saints, was given this grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about the administration of this mystery. In past ages, this mystery remained hidden in God, who created all things. He did this so that, through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God in the heavenly places might now be made known to the rulers and authorities. This was done according to the eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, we can freely approach God with confidence through faith in Him. This is the word of our Lord. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, God, it is a mystery. By this, you know, I don't mean that God is mysterious or that He's something that you have to deduce out, like with a twist at the end, like a whodunit novel. Rather, what I mean is that we don't fully know God. Humans don't fully understand God. The fancy theological term for this is Deus absconditus, or the obscured or hidden God. God hides Himself from us. Why? Well, to protect us. See, we as fallen creatures cannot handle Him in His bare majesty. We see an example of this during the Exodus out of Egypt. God told Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." God in His mercy hides us from that which would destroy us. God also hides us from His thoughts or His will at times. St. Paul quotes Isaiah when he asks, "For who has known the mind of the Lord?" God is also hidden in that there are things about Him that we just can't understand, that reason cannot and should not explain. The hidden God requires something of me, namely that I don't speak where God has not spoken. This is called speculation. It is when I take my feelings and arrogant opinions and go with them, as if they are true. You know, the friends of Job do this very well, and God rebukes them, saying, "I am angry with you because you have not spoken the truth about me." This speaking where God has not is the favorite work of the devil. From the beginning, in the garden, the devil speaks, "When you eat from the tree, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." It is this sin that Luther warns about in the Large Catechism when he says that false teachers misuse God's holy name when they take God's word and hand it over to the devil. But God is not all hidden, as if there is nothing we can know about God. The Bible uses the word mystery, which is used 6 times in our short text, to mean something unknown until revealed, or not understood until explained. And how true this is with our God. Paul says in our text, this mystery was made known to me by revelation. And this mystery was not made known to people in past generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. God is revealed in nature and the cosmos. The psalmist sings, the heavens tell about the glory of God. And in all his works, God's fingerprints are everywhere. And yet, even in these, God is hidden. See, Luther calls the ways that God is hidden and yet reveals himself masks of God. And while these revelations are sufficient for atheists to be without excuse, they do not tell us who God is, only some of his characteristics. Now, this is not because God is insufficient, but rather because our reason is insufficient. With this shallow knowledge of God, we can know he's powerful. I mean, he created everything. We may even deduce that he is in charge. And yet, all religions come from this natural knowledge of God. And they teach the same rules, that God punishes the wicked and rewards the righteous. But this is not true. Our everyday experiences show us often the opposite. I mean, just take a recent news event. What happens to this idea of rewarding the righteous when Christians are gunned down in church? When confronted by suffering and evil, we may conclude the opposite. Either that he is not all-powerful, or not in charge, and thus not a God, or worse, that he is the source of evil. Left to our own, we can never know God. Our reason is insufficient, our intentions selfish, our very nature rebellious and distrustful of God. Never by following the rules of religion can we gain God's favor. We could never be good enough. God's glory would destroy us just as surely as it would have destroyed Moses. We, like Paul, could label ourselves as the chief of sinners, or as he does in this letter, the very least of all the saints. Oh, how dark is the counsel of men without the light of God's word. But God does not leave us in the dark. He grants us the epiphany, the revelation, through the church, Paul writes in our text. The multifaceted wisdom of God is made known. From the beginning, God reveals himself in his word. He is revealed in his word, which created the heavens and the earth. His word, which called Abraham out of Ur. His word, which he gave to Moses to write down. His word, which prophesies through his prophets. His word, which builds and sustains his holy church here and throughout the world. St. Paul writes, "For the God who said, 'Light will shine out of darkness,' is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ." This truth is that Jesus is truly God in the flesh, can only be known to us by revelation of Scripture. The only true God is revealed in the mystery of Christ. This great Word who was in the beginning, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, this great Word became flesh and dwelled among us, is Jesus Christ. God may be a mystery. God may be hidden, but that does not mean he cannot be found. Like the wise men who in our gospel lesson visited, we find God in Jesus. Luther said, "We will find God when we seek him in the arms of the Virgin and in the manger of Bethlehem. If men want to know what the will of God is concerning them, let them listen to Mary's son. Outside of him, God has locked up his heart and hidden his will. In the Word, Jesus, the Christ, we learn to know God rightly. But this is not all. Grace upon grace. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him, to come to him. And that God, what an amazing mystery, that God of all creation chose to reveal himself to you. God wants you to know him. He is not an unknown God. Rather, he is your Savior. When I was working on this sermon, my daughter, Carice, asked me, "You mean God is a mystery and not a mystery?" What a fine theologian she is. Yes, exactly. God does not tell us everything we want to know, but he does tell us in Scripture everything we need to know. In Holy Scripture, which is rightly called God's Word, because it is his revelation about himself, in Scripture we learn the answers to some mysteries. And like in our text, which states that we are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who also share in the promise through the gospel. Friends, what is an heir? It is a member of the family who is given an inheritance. You and I are members of God's family and a sharer of Christ's inheritance. Well, what is that? What is our inheritance? Our text shares the answer. The riches of Christ, which is nothing else but his life, his holiness, his death, and his resurrection. His death? Riches? Yes. Especially his death. But it's little Christmas. We want to think of the cute baby Jesus, not the cross. My friends, the baby Jesus means nothing without the cross. This is the great hidden glory of God. He hides himself in suffering. This is how God wants to be known. Broken and dying on the cross for our sins. Yes, this is counter to reason, but as Paul writes, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And this death he dies for you. What mind-boggling mercy is this? And what a wonderful good news truth that the Almighty God has clearly made known his love for us. Don't see a crucifix and feel sadness. Rather, look at it enlightened with eyes of faith and see the glory, see the love of God who died so you don't have to. Our God who lives and promises that one day you too will live. And this day when God will no longer be hidden, but fully revealed, awesome in power, glorious in majesty. And what will he do on that day? St. John's vision tells us. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain, because the former things have passed away. The one who is seated on the throne said to me, "Look, I am making everything new." Let there be no mystery about it. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.